we'll make sure to give you the praise and glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Word as one who struck it rich. Wow, praise God. What's he saying? Your word is like a lottery ticket. Praise God. You know, there's things that the lottery ticket, the winning lottery ticket, can't get you sometimes. There's some things that money can't buy, things like health, things like peace, things like joy, and things like that. Now, money can buy material things and can take care of some things that way. But I'll tell you what, when people are sick or your children are sick or you want your kids to be protected or you want angels to go before and you need favor, I'll tell you what, the Bible can get you that kind of stuff. And David knew it, and he said, "I rejoice at your word as one who struck it rich." What did he say? "I have an honor for the word of God." The word's exciting to him. Hallelujah. So open your Bibles this morning to Revelation chapter 22. Verse 20. This is one of the four houses that we've had recently, which is so interesting how God does things. You'll see today that if you'll look at things in the spirit of the word, you'll see how wonderful God is this morning. That he wants to help people in a big setting, that he wants to get help over to people. You know, and correction might come to the house of God today. And the Bible says that correction starts at the house of God. And judgment starts at the house of God. And there might be some of that today. But, you know, how you take correction and how you take the word stepping on your toes is everything. You can get huffy and puffy about it. You can get mad and angry and resentful. And you can push that help away. Or you can say, "My God, I'm loved." The Bible says the Lord loves everyone that he corrects. The Lord loves. Amen. You're thinking, "Oh my God, what's coming today?" Well, no, maybe it won't be correction, and maybe it'll just be encouragement. Maybe it'll be just an opportunity. But the point is, God loves you so much to say these things today. Hallelujah. Amen. And the Bible says if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. God gives us an opportunity to take care of the things that we're missing. He does it through the preaching and teaching of the Word, and you'll see things in your life and say, "My life doesn't look like what the Word is saying, what that pastor's saying." You know, you got to look at me as just the mailman, right? The mailman shows up with bills that you might not like, but you need to pay him to keep your lights on, to keep your heat on. You don't get mad, at least I don't get mad at the mailman. It's not his fault, praise God. And so you got to make sure you're looking at the Word, because God's trying to help you this morning. And if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So let's get into this. Let's pray first. Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your kindness to share these things. Father, thank you that you love people so much that you would give us the Word of God. Lord, you could have just gave us Jesus and left us be, and we could have wandered down here into wrong things and into depression and poverty and sickness and defeat. But no, you gave us the Word, which is our roadmap to success. It's our GPS to victory. So Father, we thank you for it this morning. Speak through me that my words would not be my own, excuse me, but that of the Holy Ghost. That Father, that you and what you want said would be said here today. Holy Ghost, minister to me. Thank you. Hit bullseyes in everybody's heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation 22 and verse 20 are the last recorded words of Jesus. Excuse me. It says, "He which testifieth these things," which was Jesus, "saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." So we've been looking at that the last few weeks since Pastor Michael was here, building on the foundation that he laid. That Jesus is coming back, right? Yeah. Not if, but Jesus is coming back. It's just a matter of when. And then in 1 John, real quick, we're just kind of going over our foundation. 1 John 2 and verse 28, just a few pages back from your Bible, from Revelation. 1 John 2 and verse 28 says this. It says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when," not if, "when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." So the Bible says you can be found one of two ways when Jesus comes back, either ashamed or confident. And I'll tell you what, that is our victory day. Amen. The Bible likens us to the bride and likens Jesus to being the husband. You know, the last thing a wife or a bride wants to do on her wedding day is to be ashamed, is to come down that aisle and stand before her husband ashamed and embarrassed and not ready. Can you imagine a bride coming down and there she's still got her rollers in her hair and right? She forgot to put her dress on. Oh, she gets at the aisle. And I mean, you imagine how she wouldn't be very bold in that day. But I'll tell you, what do brides do? They prepare. They get ready. They do their hair maybe like they've never done before. They do their makeup maybe like they've never done before. They get a dress that they've never had before. And they take measures and steps to prepare for that moment. Why? They want to stand before their husband confident. They want to look beautiful. They want to be ready for that day. Well, that's what I want to be when Jesus comes back. The last thing I want to do is stand in front of Him with my tail between my legs. Oh, why are you here now? Oh, man, I wish you'd have stayed away. No, we want to be able to meet Him in the air and be so confident to stand before Him to say, we ran our race, we finished our course, we did everything that you called us to do. Amen? Amen. So that's what we're looking at. My job as the pastor, the shepherd, is to get the people ready, hallelujah, for that day. And that's through the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Go with me to Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. I know you're all on the edge of your seat. What's he going to talk about today after that little intro, that little correction intro?
Praise God.
But there's been some things in the spirit that have been brewing for a while that have manifested in the natural and that have confirmed a lot of things. And I'm not talking one account, two accounts. I'm talking several instances. And this message is a long time coming. But I'm patient. I don't just jump out of the gate and start sharing things when God lays things on my heart. I wait until the Holy Ghost gives me the green light, because then there'll be utterance, and then there'll be grace on the message, and then it'll be easier for you to hear and not so hard to hear. And so my thing always is this, even like if I'm afraid of something, roller coasters was a great example of this, or if there's something that needs to be dealt with, I just want to get it done. And sometimes I found I have to be patient. Sometimes I'll just boom right out of the gate and I need to wait a little bit. But even like with roller coasters, I was always so afraid. And I was the purse holder. I was the jacket holder. While everyone went on, they come off all smiling and happy. I said, you know what? I'm not letting fear dominate me anymore. Bible says He's not given us a spirit of fear. And if they can have fun on those things, I can have fun. First one I ever went on was the Superman in Darien Lake. I know it's not the biggest one in the world, but it's a big one. And I'm going up it, and there's Pastor Tim on it with me from Jamestown, and he is one miserable son of a gun to be with on your first ride. And he's like, oh my gosh, Pastor Michael, look how high we are. He's like telling me, can you imagine if we went over the... I mean, he's just giving me the business, and I wanted to deck him. You know, I didn't, but... And I went down that thing terrified, but man, I had so much fun and just getting back on. But my point is, I wanted to go after it. And when the devil starts messing in people's minds and starts messing with people, and I know what the result will be, I just want to attack it head on. And attack it head on with the Word of God. Amen? So that's what we're going to do this morning. Go with me. I think I told you. Maybe I didn't, but Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. That's not where I want to go. Let's see here. Well, interesting. I wrote down the wrong reference. One second. My phone and my iPad are supposed to be synced, but sometimes that doesn't happen all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to get there. Where is it? Okay. Oh, that's why. It's Luke 10. Praise the Lord. Well, some of this, I was working on it in the 4 o'clock hour this morning. Luke 10, in verse 27. And he, Jesus answering, said, or the gentleman said to him, because he asked him in the beginning, they're asking questions. There's three different accounts of this. But in the verse before, he says, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And he said, that you should love the Lord your God with all your what?
Heart.
And with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and as your neighbor, as yourself. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, you have answered right. So the guy said, we ought to love God with all of our heart. And Jesus said, that's absolutely right. And you look at other places, and Jesus said, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. So God's after your heart, isn't he? God's after your heart. He wants the heart of man, not the thump, 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 but the real you, the center of you. Well, we know this because if you look at David, and we'll look at this down the road in this message today, the Bible mentions this about David. It says that the testimony that God left David on the earth was that he was a man after God's own heart. One translation says that his heart beat like the heartbeat of God. He had the same heart as God had. And the Bible recorded that. I'll tell you, that would be a heck of a thing to leave on my tombstone. I'll tell you, if I get that, praise the Lord, I've made it. You know, to be remembered as, man, that guy, that lady, they had a heart after God. They were in tune with God. What God wanted, they wanted. That ought to be our goal, by the way, people. That ought to be your goal. God's after your heart. And would you agree with me that when he shows up in the air, like we're talking about, his coming, don't you want him to say, nothing held you back for me. I had all of your heart. This is our opportunity to show him by faith. We're with you, Lord. We love you. We love you. And Jesus is saying, yes, love the Lord your God with all your heart. David sold a heart after God. I mean, for God to record that about David, must be that was a pretty important thing that David had, that pretty important characteristic. And we see David do wonderful things. God used him mightily. You see David crying out to God in a relationship with him, just has a heart for him. So then, go with me now. Now, are you ready? Because here we go. Praise God. Devil, you're about to get a black eye.
Hallelujah.
Now, I'm going to encourage you. Because I know the devil's been working on people. I know the devil's been working on people in this area. And I'm going to encourage you. Do not, well, that's just Pastor Mike's words. No, this is Pastor Mike reading what the Bible says, trying to get you ready so that when you stand before Jesus, there was nothing between you and him. And if the Bible says that he wants your heart, and then the Bible tells you what's a good indicator of where your heart is, then we're going to find out what it is, and we're going to be doers of that word, regardless of what the devil wants to tell us, regardless of the pressure the devil wants to put on me. Matthew 6 and verse 21.
Thank you, Jesus.
So God's after your heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That word heart is the same word heart that the Bible says that God is after, that you should love the Lord God with all your heart. Well, the Bible says something interesting about that word heart. That your heart goes, wherever your treasure goes, your heart is attached and follows the treasure.
Yeah.
Jesus is saying, I know where your heart is by where your treasure goes.
Yeah. Amen.
So what are we talking about here today? Having a right attitude about the offering.
That's right.
Because there have been things that I have known for months that have been confirmed to me, that have come up in the natural, that the devil's been working on people, that people have been bickering about things, that people have been saying things. It could be a potential to cause church division. It'd be a potential to put you into the devil's kingdom. And we are going to attack it this morning, and we're going to lay the thing straight, and you're going to be blessed walking out of here. And God's going to have your heart. Hallelujah. But the word says, where your treasure is, or your finances, your wealth, one translation says, actually if you look up that word treasure, it's the word wealth. Where your wealth is, your heart's sure to follow.
Yeah.
So, when you give in tithes and offerings, which the Bible, which we're going to show you, tells you to do, not Pastor Mike's idea.
Right.
When you give that and obey that, and you submit that to the Lord in obedience, you are not just putting in money, you are showing the Lord, I'm with you. My heart is yours. And for people to say, why do you talk about money? And money is a small thing. Not to God, it's not a small thing. Money is not a small thing to God. The Bible says your heart, the one thing that God is after, is attached to your money. And we'll look at some of those things today to bring them to light. And you might say, well, you know, I'm doing it. But how are you doing it? Because God's not interested in just the doing, he's interested in the how too.
Yeah.
What do I mean? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick. And we're going to break some of these things down. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Again, not mad at anybody. You know, it's interesting, the Holy Ghost will show me things about people, and I just pray. I say, oh, I don't know why they're taking those thoughts or doing that or saying that. I don't understand why they do that. Just stick with the Bible. You'll be all right. Stick with the Bible. You'll be all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse 7. Every man, according as he has purposeth in his heart, so let him give. So God says giving, yes, is a good thing. Not grudgingly. Not of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Heather, will you please pull that up in the Amplified? Listen to what it says in the Amplified. Let each one give as he's made up his own mind, purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves. He takes pleasure in prizes above other things and is unwilling to abandon or do without. A cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it. Prompt to do it. Yeah. What would that be? Oh, you know, church, I forgot. The church needs this. We need to take up a special offering. You got it, Pastor. Yeah. What? That's a prompt to do it, giver. Yeah. Or, again? Again? The house of prompt to do it, giver. Whose heart is in his giving. So it's not that you just do it. Hopefully you're doing it, but it's how you do it. How you present the offering. Having a right attitude about the offering. You can have a wrong attitude about the offering. Go with me to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to show you this. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. We're not going to have a bunch of sourpusses in here when it comes offering time. We're not going to have a bunch of grumpy gills that the devil's working on you, and you know, you're saying things you shouldn't say, and you're doing things you shouldn't do, and then you're walking into the devil's kingdom. I just want to help people today. That's why we're not calling anybody out by name, and I don't even know everything that's going on. I just know there's people being tempted and tested in this area. So we're going to blast it with the Word. And if you're a Word of God person, you will love it this morning. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived. And she bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. So we have Cain and Abel, two brothers, the children of Adam and Eve. And Abel was keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So Abel was a farmer. He worked with the animals, and Cain worked with the agriculture. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So talk about an offering. Verse 4. Verse 3, brought an offering to the Lord. Verse 4 now. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings. Notice that. The Bible says Cain brought an offering. The Bible says Abel brought the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. So see, it matters. It matters your offering, how you go about it, what you're doing. Are you tipping God? Are you doing it grudgingly? Are you doing it with an attitude? And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell, verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth, and why have your countenance fallen? If you would do well, you'd be accepted. And if you do not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and you shall rule over him. We know what happened. It led to Cain taking his brother's life over an offering. Wrong attitude about the offering. Yeah. Remember when Jesus saw the widow woman, said that there was a bunch of rich people that put in the offering, and their amounts were large? And the widow woman came and gave all, and Jesus was watching. The Bible says he was observing. You don't even know, but God's observing how you're giving. God's observing your thoughts about your giving. God's observing your heart about your giving. And he's watching how you put it in the bucket. He's watching what you say outside of these doors concerning the tithing message. And so, yeah, Jesus said he sat back and watched. He's interested. Why? Because it's a measure of your heart. It's an indicator of your heart. Yeah. Glory to God. You know, when it comes to tithing, because I'm just going to just say this. I love it that this is the fullest it's ever been. People might, the devil would say, oh, you're going to lose your church now. Bring it on, devil. Because if we have people that truly love God, they're going to truly love the Word and the plan of God. Amen? And I'm glad the masses are going to hear this. Because I want people helped and I want people blessed. But our attitudes need to change concerning money. If you are critical of the tithe, the offering, or of your pastor when he shares about it, that this message is for you. If you just flat out don't obey the Word of God, this message is for you, hallelujah. If you are just, right now, you are so ticked off, this message is for you. Oh, trust me, this message is definitely for you if you are sitting there just fuming mad. Oh, he's going to talk about money again. You're darn right I am. Because it's not money, I'm going to talk about your heart today. Glory to God, I am. I didn't make up Matthew 6:21 where your treasure, your heart is. You're darn right, we're going to talk about it. You know, Abraham 430 years before it was ever instructed to give a tithe, out of the goodness of his heart, he said, I got to give back to God. And he gave tithes 430 years before God ever said to do it. He just said, Lord's blessed. Do you realize you've been saved? What the heck is 10% compared to going to hell? I mean, seriously. And Abraham said, I've been blessed so much, I'd at least give God 10. Yeah. He didn't need a command. And how much more should we, under the new covenant and the new birth, have been saved by the blood of Jesus? How much more should we have that generosity? Because Abraham didn't have the love of God in his heart. The Bible says the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Ghost. We should want to just give back because we have the nature of God on the inside of us. And God's nature is always give. And God's nature is always to give big. For God so loved the world that he gave, what? His only son. He gave big right from the get-go. Yeah. Absolutely. The love of God's on the inside. Now, it shouldn't be getting so quiet and so nervous in here. This ought to be exciting because it's going to bring you into some prosperity.
Amen.
Yeah. Because your words, your attitudes, and your actions will hold you back. They will. Abraham didn't have a problem with the tithe. He said, I'll invent the tithe.
Yeah.
He said, I don't have a problem. I want to do it. I don't need a pastor to tell me.
Right.
I don't need a pastor every week to tell me about it. I'm just going to do it because God's blessed me so much. I want to give back.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the attitude we ought to have.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Attitudes need to change. So let's look at the offerings, which include tithes and offerings. If you're here visiting and you're new to church, you say, what's this all about? I'll tell you what, this is God trying to get you into more money. Anybody want more money? I do. And if you say you don't, then I question your truthfulness. Because I'm not saying I want it necessarily for me, but I want it for my family, and I want it for the kingdom of God, and I want to bless people that are hurting. This is the way into that, the financial message. So let's look today at some things. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. And remember, just sit there and smile and amen me, and no one will know we're talking about you. That was supposed to be funnier than it was, but truthfully, just sit there and be like, amen, pastor. Don't even think, oh, that one's on board. They are just on board with this message, but you are going to be on board. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Malachi chapter 3. We're going to bring out some things this morning to try to help you. We're going to just punch the devil in the face. Malachi 3 and verse 8. Now remember, Malachi is just as much Bible as John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
If you believe in that, you got to believe in this.
Yeah.
Because it's the same God, the same Holy Ghost that penned these verses, that penned John 3:16.
Yeah.
It's the same ones. Malachi 3 and verse 8. We're about ready to kick it into high gear. Harsh words here, but will a man rob God? God says, yet you have robbed me. Where have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. Now, did I write that or did Malachi write that through the Holy Ghost? Malachi wrote that through the Holy Ghost. Now, if I were to stand up to you and say to you today, I was robbed at my house, you would know that my possessions, things that belonged to me, were taken when they shouldn't have been. God is saying, you're robbing me of tithes and offerings. So what is that saying? The tithe and the offering are God's. And when you withhold the tithe and the offering, you are putting your hand in the cookie jar that you should never put your hand in. That is a do not touch area for the Lord. But people are doing it all the time. Taking what's God's. Robbing from God. People will get promotions. People will get increase. People will get blessings. People will get whatever, Holy Ghost handshakes. The Bible says, honor the Lord. Actually, we need to look at it. Go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. You want to know what else money's about? It's not just your heart. It's about honor.
Yeah.
It is. You'll see it right here. Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says, honor the Lord. With what, Lord? With your substance and with the first fruits. Everybody say first fruits.
First
fruits of all your increase. Holy Ghost handshake, increase.
Yep, right.
Job promotion, increase. Birthday card, increase.
Yes, that's right.
Christmas gift, increase.
Yes.
Absolutely. Honor the Lord with all your increase. Now, Heather, so see here, it's not a money issue. The offering is an honor issue. So if you have trouble with honoring or bringing your first fruits, you have a trouble with honoring your God.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's unfortunate for me sometimes in the flesh to be who I am because Pastor Nancy Dufresne prophesied over me a few years ago in front of the whole Jamestown church, hundreds of people, and said, The boldness that was on Lester Sumrall will manifest in you. Now, if you know anything about Lester Sumrall, he wrote the book, Faith Can Change Your World. Sometimes I'll say things from the pulpit, and I know I'm supposed to say it, and then I'll get out of the pulpit and say, oh my God, did I say that? Well, it's that boldness manifesting. But I'm just going to say it like it is. The Bible says you're a robber, and that if you have a problem with that, you are a dishonorable person. I know that's a lot to swallow, but it's the truth. I'm trying to get you ready to see Jesus, so when he stands there and doesn't shake his head, say, my. That was your fire insurance, but sure didn't have your heart. Sure weren't honorable to me. Yeah. Oh, that, no, see, the offering's already gone. We're not taking another offering. Oh, that pastor just tried it. No. Offering's already been taken up, people. It's already gone. Don't worry. Your wallets are safe. Purses are safe. Go back to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have. But you say, where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. Now, go to verse 9. You, who? You, the robber, are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. For you to beg and whine and cry and expect God to bless you. I'm going to show you something else in a second here that will open your eyes. And to withhold from him and rob him, my goodness, you have not got a revelation. The Bible says in Leviticus 27 verse 30, it says that the tithe is holy unto God. It's a holy thing. When you get an increase of any kind, 10% is holy to him. It's not a, oh God, got to do this. No, it's a holy thing to God. That's Leviticus 27 and verse 30. But now go with this. So you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. Prove me now here with saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, there should not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for the tither's sake. He will not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, says the Lord of hosts. The Bible says the tithe keeps the devil off your back. It puts a protection around you and your family. I'm just going to say this to be bold. For those of you that are believing for things to change in your life, for your kids to be safe, for your finances, for favor, for the blessings of God, for protection, for health, for all these things, and you're robbing God, all I got to say to that is, please, please, you need to wake up. For you to think that those things will happen when you're robbing the very one that you want to keep your kids safe, that you want to get the promotions from, that you want to get the blessings from. You're robbing the one that you're trying to get blessed from. And he says, the devourer, he says, I can't keep them off you. Some people say, well, I've never seen a huge harvest with a tithe. You don't know what you've been kept from. The word says, when you're a tither, he'll rebuke the devourer. There was a lady from a church in Iowa. And I've heard several stories, I guess, actually some personal ones, but I want to bring this one out. She was a young mom, I think she was 32, 33 years old, had three kids. She had female issues, and she was bleeding heavily, and just it wouldn't stop, kind of like the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. And she went to the emergency room, and you know how it is at emergency rooms, you sit there and wait a lot of times. And she was waiting and waiting, and she knew, she felt inside, I'm dying. They need to hurry this up. I'm dying. And Jesus appeared to her. He says, is that biblical? It sure is. Sure is. Study it out. There's lots of times people were visited, heavenly visitations. But anyway, Jesus appeared to her. She said, Jesus. She thought, I'm going to be with him. She said, Jesus, I can't die now. I got three children. They need a mom. They need someone to raise them. And Jesus smiled at her. And she said, when Jesus smiled, the whole room lit up. And Jesus smiled, and he said, look, he said, whatever her name was, he said, you're not going to die. You're a tither. I've come to tell you, you're going to be okay. Praise God. And the tithe kept you. Rebuke the devourer. You don't know the accidents you've been kept from. You don't know the diseases you've been kept from. You don't know the financial things that have come down on other people that have been kept from you. You don't know how things have lasted longer for you. You don't know how your kids have been kept when they've been out in different places and been kept safe because the devourer's been rebuked. Some of these things you'll never know until you get to the other side. You look back and say, my God, thank you, I was a tither. Thank you, I was a tither. Thank you, I was a tither. It's true. I'm just trying to help people. See, I love people so much, I don't want the devourer to be rebuked, so I'll tell you, tithe. I know churches that will not talk about it, and the church is suffering, and the people are suffering. I'll tell you what, I'm going to share the Word of God. Why can't people see that? Why would people say, I can't stand when Pastor Mike talks about that? Why wouldn't they say, man, I'm so glad my pastor teaches me how to not be devoured by the devourer. I'm so glad he does that. But the devil will twist it. Oh, he's just after money. All he does is talk about money. No, if all I'm doing is talking about your money, all I'm doing is talking about your heart. Absolutely. Just try to help you. I know this is different today. Hallelujah. I haven't seen you be hard, so you don't know what you've been kept from. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat or provision. The Message Bible says, ample provisions in my house. Do you know that the tithe is the only thing mentioned that God planned for provision of His house? The tithe. He doesn't expect sinners to give the money. He doesn't expect the world to send the tithe checks in and to bring it and do those things. No, no, no. He expects His people to bring it to the storehouse. Why? That there'll be ample provisions in my house. Yeah, so I'll just say this. If you have a problem with a tithe, you don't love the house of God. You don't. You know what I would say about a parent that is not sufficiently providing for their child, whether it be clothing or food, I'd say, they must not love them very much. Wouldn't you? I mean, I'm talking about somebody that's struggling. I'm talking about somebody that's purposefully neglecting and abusing their children, not providing food, not providing the right nutrition, not providing the right shelter, not providing the right protection. I say, man, do they even want that child? I mean, don't you see stories where you're like, that's a gift. Like, don't you? You must not really love that child. It's the same with the house of God. The tithe provides for the house. And if you don't provide for the house, and you have a problem with talking about providing for the house, and you have a problem when it gets brought up and all these things, you have a problem with your love for the house. Because there's no other way that the house will be provided for than through the tithe. He said, bring the tithe, then there'll be ample provisions. The things we'd be able to do if everybody would be on board, 100%. The things, and you say, well, I thought you didn't know. I know in the spirit. I don't look at the offering envelopes. I can't remember the last time I thumbed through an offering. Can't remember the last time. That's between you and God. I just let the Holy Ghost deal with me. They won't get healed. They're not tithing. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that thing they're believing for, I mean, that's stupid. That's why I said, please. I can't keep the devourer off for you, but you can through the tithe.
Amen.
It's true. I'll tell you, faithfulness. The Bible says that he that is faithful, that which is least. In the least context, there's talking about money. If you can't even be faithful in the least, you'll never be faithful with the true riches. The Bible calls money least. You know, I remember, the biggest check I ever received was a $9,000 check one time. And it was during that time where we had $1,200 to $2,000 short every month. And it unexpectedly came in, $9,000. And I'll tell you what, we needed every penny of that $9,000, didn't we? But the Bible says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Well, a tithe out of $9,000 is $900. And I'll tell you what, $900 might not seem like a lot to a lot of people, but I sure could have used every penny of that $9,000. And I know what it's like. Thoughts rip through my head. Oh, you know, this is a bigger one. I don't know if we need to do this. It happens all the time with people in promotions. I've seen people that have been blessed from the tithe get promotions, and then their tithe goes up and they stop tithing because now they're tested. The tithe got you there. The tithe got you to be provided and your business flourishing and increasing and all these blessings that come in. But I see it and I understand it because I remember being there and having the thought rip through my head of being tempted to just to eat that. But you know what? God knows. You might be able to keep it from the ushers. You might be able to keep it from the accountant. You might be able to keep it from, you know, everybody. But God knows. God knows your heart. God knows if you're withholding it or not. Yeah, absolutely. He does. He's trying to help people. The tithe is the only thing. And see, here's the thing. God has called certain people to this church. I believe if you're here, you feel called to this church. That means God has, if you were to look at a pie chart of provision for the church, and you're called to this church, you have a piece of that pie that God's expecting you to bring the tithe. And when you don't, provision goes unmet. Yeah, absolutely it does. Because He's going to call us to do according to what everybody's tithe would be. According to what everybody's tithe would be is what He's going to put on my heart because He's not expecting the sinner to pay for this stuff. And so when people withhold that, what God's called us to do doesn't get done. Ample provisions in my house. Can you please bring that back up? Hallelujah. So my question to you is, do you have a love for the house of God? Yes or no? I don't. You can show that in your giving. Now pull up Acts 13 and verse 22, Heather. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Acts 13 and verse 22. Man, I don't know if it was quieter for this message or for the hell message. I'll tell you, it's a holy hush. You start talking about money and how to raise people's children. And I'll tell you what, you can hear it. It's like cricket, cricket, cricket. Acts 13 and verse 22. See, if this bothers you today, that's showing you have a problem. Because I've never been in a message where a tithe message has bothered me. My pastor could talk about it 52 weeks out of the year every time I meet with him at Mentor, and I'd be happy to hear it. Happy to hear it. Never bothers me. Never bothers me. I've never heard Brother Hagin complain about it. I've never heard Lester Sumrall complain about the tithe. I've never heard Pastor Michael, Pastor Tim, other people that have hearts for it. I never hear certain people complain about it. Never do. So that's trying to locate yourself. If this bothers you today, that's showing you have a heart problem.
Yes.
You have a heart problem, and God wants to help you because Jesus is coming back. I'll tell you what, the last thing I want him to say is, the dollar bill kept me from being everything that I needed to be in your life.
Yeah, that's good.
You think God can bless you in your disobedience? No, he can't. He'll bless you to a measure as far as he can, but you're hindering him and you're handcuffing him. Acts 13 verse 22 says this, and when he had removed him, he raised up them David to be king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. It says, David's someone I can count on. David's heart beats like mine. David and I are on the same page. Glory to God. So let's find out. Because if you love the house of God, then you love the tithe. If you love the house of God, you love the offering. Because you know it goes to providing. If you love the kingdom of God, you love the tithe and the offering. You absolutely do. So let's find out. If the Bible says that David had a heart after God. Psalm 69 and verse 9. Psalm 69 and verse 9. Praise God. Jesus is coming back. He's waiting for us to get the job done, but we can't do it unless people are faithful. Psalm 69. And we need to just correct some attitudes. And correct some just problems because the devil's working on people. Psalm 69 and verse 9. I'll rebuke the devil. I tell you, I'm terrified to not tithe. I can't even imagine someone gives me a $5 handshake. I can't even imagine not giving 50 cents of that to God. I can't. I can't even fathom it. It's his. You never think of coming into my house and stealing anything that's mine. I remember I borrowed a gun from Pastor Brad Holford, the assistant pastor at the Jamestown Church. I bought a muzzleloader from him, and he said, I need that back tomorrow. I'm able to hunt. And I said, oh, no problem. But then the next day came, I had the gun, and he came to get it. You know what I didn't say? You know, I'm just going to keep this for a little longer. Or even though I think I'm going to hold on to this. Why? It's not mine.
Right.
And people do that with the tithe all the time. You have to renew your mind that God says the tithe is his. The offering is his. It's not yours. It's his. Praise God. Psalm 69 and verse 9 says, For the zeal of thine house, affection, excitement, the zeal of your house has eaten me up. David said, I'm so zealous for the house of God. The house of God, remember, he's the one that said, I was glad when I went to the house of God. He loved the church. Because the church is where the presence of God is. It's where people are being taught. It's where people are being helped. He says, the zeal of your house is eating me alive. I just am so excited for the house of God. Well, let's look how excited he was. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. We don't have too much farther to go. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. Praise the Lord. I know. It's not fun for me to preach this. I'll tell you that much. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord. Now let's find out what a man after God's own heart, how excited about the house of God is. Because remember, this house of God is only going to flourish when people are faithful with their money.
Amen.
So what does he say? He said, that it should be built exceeding magnificifical. Whatever that word is, I've never said that word before. Of fame and of glory throughout the countries.
He says, I want God's house to be the best thing, people. I want the fame. I want people to talk about. Yeah. You know what that means it's going to be? It's going to be nice. Yeah. It's going to be costly. Yeah. It's going to look good. It's going to be expensive, which means there's going to need to be provision. But David said, that's what I want because I love the house of God. Yeah. See, people just don't have a revelation of how wonderful this place is. Maybe to some of you, it's just what you do on Sunday mornings. To me, it changes my life. Amen. To me, this is my life. This is what saves me. This is what keeps me going. This is where I get my help from God. I love this place. I love this place. I love it. You say, Pastor, I'm so thankful for my pastor not giving me a salary. Because you might say, Pastor, you're just doing this so the offerings go up so then you can make more money. Well, that's not how it works, number one. But number two, I started this church, if you don't know, with a brand new baby, quitting a full-time job and taking a salary of zero for almost a year. And believed God every single month for money. Because I didn't give a rip about money. I gave a rip about the plan of God. I didn't care less about the money for myself. I don't get the money from the offerings. I used to think that. That's why I wanted to be a pastor when I was younger. I thought, man, you work one day a week and they pass the bucket for you. And you go home. I said, what is better than that? But that's not how it works. There's a board and set salary and different things like that. My salary does not go up and down based on the offering. It just doesn't. It's not how we do things. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5, we looked at that. Now go with me to 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 2. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 2. I'll tell you, you ought to just recognize, if you have such a problem with this message, the devil is pumping those thoughts into your head. Why? He's trying to keep you from all that God has. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just so obvious. But you're not seeing it because maybe you're under pressure. Maybe you're under financial pressure. Maybe you're under attack. Well, God says you're going to get out of that by being obedient and faithful with your money. Amen. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 2, he says, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones to be set, glistering stones of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Verse 3. Now here you go. Are you ready for the blast between the eyes? Amen. You say you love God. You say you love the church. You say you're thankful. Well, we're going to stop putting our money where our mouth is. Because look what David says in verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God. He says, I'm going to show you by act that I love the house of God. I'm not just going to say I love the church. I'm not going to just say I love you, Lord, and worship. I'm not just going to lift my hands in my car on the radio or at home and put on a show. I'm going to show you that I love God. He says, because I've set my affection to the house of God, I have of my own proper good, he says, of my own wealth, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for your holy house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 4, even 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house. You say, I'm giving out of myself. You go and study what he was given. He was given big and sacrificially. Why? Because he loved the house of God. Amen. Money didn't bother him. Money didn't come between him and God. And the silver, verse 5, things of silver for all manner of work to be made by the hand of the artificers. And who then, he said, now look at this, here it is. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? He's saying, look, here's what I'm doing. Here's what I'm doing. I can tell you this, percentage-wise, I don't know for a fact, and I'm not bragging, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'd be hard-pressed to find anybody, percentage-wise, that gives as much as their income as my wife and I do. I'm serious. Percentage-wise, we may not give them amount because we don't make as much as some people, but percentage-wise, you think I'm not telling you this to put you into a bondage, but I'm doing like David said. David said, look what I'm doing, now what are you going to do? Yeah, we do not stop at 10%. We do not stop at 20%. We do not stop at 30%. We do not stop at 40%. There's times we get our giving statement back at the end of the year, and more has gone out of our house than came in, and we sit there and scratch our heads and say, God is good. Now, we just want you to start tithing and being faithful. If you want to give more, praise the Lord, as you purpose in your heart. That's not to put bondage on you. But David said, this is what I do, and I'm to be an example to the flock. I can't preach this, and then I don't tithe, and then I don't give. I'm encouraging you to be generous, and I don't. There's been times, and I will say this because I got a green light in my spirit. Again, nobody's telling you to do this.
The Bible says you have to give a tithe to be obedient. That's 10%. Everybody's amount will be different based on what you make and blessings that come in. But the offering, the Bible says, as you purpose in your heart. Or if God speaks something to you. So when I say this, this is not putting you in that same bondage, because then you'd be disobeying God by doing it that way. There's times we've given every single penny to the ministry. There was a time when this church struggled a couple years ago that we gave 100% of our paycheck to the church and put everything on credit cards to keep this thing going. Absolutely. And it all came back to me. You say, Pastor, you're bragging. No, I'm telling you, I love this place so much, I'll do whatever. I'll sell whatever. I'll take 10 jobs if it meant keeping the church going. So I get a salary, and we're starting with everything. 100% back. Just put it right back in the... Am I lying? It's the truth. We go to our tax guy at the end there, and he says, why do you even get a salary? It's all pretty much going back to the church. I just love the house of God. I said, Bob, that's his name. I said, I'm blessed. My family's blessed. My body, my family, the favor of God's on my life. We're doing just fine, Bob. Don't you do your job here. Don't try to talk me out of doing my taxes here. I'm fine. But the point is just love. I love. And he says, because I've set my affection on the house of God. Now he says, who's willing this day to consecrate themselves? The Message Bible says, and now how about you? Who among you is ready to and willing to join in the giving? If God doesn't have your money, he doesn't have your heart. I'm sorry, but that's just the truth. If you have a problem with money, then you have a problem with giving your heart to God. It's just the way it is, people. It's just the way it is. I'm not saying this isn't challenging, and I'm not saying that this isn't... Wow, Pastor, that's a lot to take in, but it's the Bible.
Yes.
And we'll close with this. What about you? Go back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Sue me for caring about you not being devoured by Satan. Sue me for it. I'm so sorry for caring about you so much. Malachi 3 verse 10, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts. Now see, it's not about just the kingdom and about God. He's got you at heart. He says, see, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He says, I have not forgotten about you.
Yeah.
Open the windows of heaven. You know what the tithe does? It opens God's blessings to your life. You don't tithe, it shuts the door and closes the window for God to move into your life. The tithe is the beginning to financial freedom for people. It is the absolute ground level, open the windows of heaven, now the blessings can start to flow through the windows. Right?
Yeah.
You know, if it's like a steaming hot day outside, but there's a breeze, you can keep your windows shut and be hot, or you could open them up and let that in, and let that in, you know, be blessed. Same with the blessings of God.
Amen. Good word.
Now, I want to expose the devil for the idiot that he is, and for the thoughts that he's been giving people. I want you to pay attention to what you're really saying or thinking when you say things against the tithe, when you say things against the offering, and you say things against your pastor for talking about that. I want you to, because I had one person, well, I've had several, but I remember one person said to me, you preach too much about faith. Why do you always talk about faith? Really what they're saying is, why do you always tell me how to be an overcomer? Because that's what faith will do for you. Why are you always telling me how to be pleasing to God? That's what faith will do. Why are you always telling me how to receive the promises of God? That's what faith will do.
Yeah.
That's what they're really saying.
Yeah.
Why are you teaching me how to be victorious and successful and receive promises of God? When you say things, I can't stand that Pastor Mike talks about the tithe. Why does he got to do? When you say that or think that, I can't stand out. This is what you're really saying. I can't stand that Pastor Mike always talks about God's possessions, because the tithe and the offering are God's. I can't stand that Pastor Mike talks about how I can be protected from the devourer. I hate him for keeping me protected. That's what you're saying. I know I'm really being sarcastic and exaggerating, but that's what you're saying. That's the thoughts you're thinking.
Yeah.
That's good.
I can't stand that Pastor Mike teaches me how to be blessed. That's what you're saying. Because that's how the blessing comes. I can't stand that Pastor Mike cares about the house of God being provided for so that the kingdom of God can go forward and people can be born again. Because that's what the tithe has done.
Amen. Amen.
That's what you're saying. That's what you're thinking. That's what the devil's feeding you. Just like that person's complaining about faith, they ought to be rejoicing that Pastor Mike talks about faith. But the devil twists things. You ought to be so thankful you have a pastor that tells you how to be financially blessed, how to be protected, how to keep the house of God going. Well, the devil makes it look like it's a curse and it's hard. No. I can't stand that Pastor Mike talks about honoring God. Because that's what the tithe does and the offering does. And I'll close with this. I didn't want to say this right now, but the Holy Ghost, I have to obey him. I have kids at home, and I got to sleep at night. So go to Numbers 12, and we'll end there. Numbers 12 and verse 1. See, here's what you don't understand, that when you talk about against me about these things, and I'm just sharing the word, you're really just talking about God. And it's not good for people, and I love people, and I want to help them. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman, Numbers 12 and verse 1, whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? So now Miriam and Aaron are criticizing Moses. Has he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. They're saying, wait, Moses is the only one? Moses, the only, God only speaks to Moses, he speaks to us too. Well, Moses was the one that God set in that place. God didn't set Aaron and Miriam in that place for that congregation. And it says, has he not spoken also by us? The Lord heard it, verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above them which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spoke suddenly unto Moses and then to Aaron and then to Miriam. So now he's calling all three of them together. The two that are talking about the one behind their back that God put in place. He said, come out you three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And the three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. And by the way, if this is you and you've done this, I don't know everything about everything, but every single instance the Holy Ghost told me first. Every single time the Holy Ghost, and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? Notice I've never called anyone, yelling at them, mad. Well, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with it? He said, just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Till when? Right now. Till right now. Yeah, absolutely. That's right. Just deal with it by preaching the Word of God. The Word will shatter untruth and the devil's ideas. Where are we? Verse 5. And the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Can you imagine this? He said, hear my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. So he said, if there's prophets among you, the way I do it is I speak in visions and dreams. He says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth. He is slapping them up now. Even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, he says, wherefore, why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now, you can take this the wrong way and go out here saying, boy, that pastor thinks he's something. You know I don't think I'm anything. I make fun of myself all the time. I tell you what a worthless idiot. I mean, we saw my past last week. I'm nothing without Jesus. But I've been put in this place by God. And I am a gift to your life, the Bible says a pastor is a gift, to help you, to guide you, to lead you into blessings. And when you open your mouth in private, and take wrong thoughts and start speaking against the church and start speaking to other people. You are trying, you might not be on purpose, but you are potentially causing division and potentially trying to put wrong thoughts into somebody else's head about their pastor to get to pull them away from the place of God, and that will not work out well for you. It just won't. It never works out well. Again, you say, well, who do you think you are? No, I'm just trying to tell you the truth of what... When God saw it happening, when you say, I can't stand that he does that, why don't you just let me hear from God and I'll say what God says for me to say. Yeah. And if you don't like it, God forbid, you know I'm trying to grow this place and keep it. The back door is not locked.
Right.
Oh God, that's that boldness coming out. Oh geez, I'll regret that one later. But is it true?
Yeah.
Nobody's forcing you to be here. I want everybody to say it again. What I'm saying is I'm not thinking of anybody specific. I just know these things have been going on. I just know these things have been going on. And you don't have to stay and And if you don't like it, I mean, are you going to go somewhere where they don't talk about it? Where they don't talk about the Bible? If that's what you want to do, you can. God forbid, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
And really hope that you come to your senses about that, because you want to be where the Word is, and hallelujah. But when you're speaking against a man or woman of God that is preaching the Word, I've never said anything that was my opinion. And when I did, I told you, this is my opinion. I think Jesus got down on the sand with the woman with adultery and wrote in the sand because I believe he was hearing from heaven. And I told you that. I said, don't build a doctrine on that, but that's my opinion. I never said, no, my opinion is you should bring 10%. No, that was the Word.
Yeah.
My opinion, you should bring the offering. No, that's the Word. And when you speak against that, you're not speaking against me as a person. You're speaking against the Word of God and the plan of God.
Right.
And God was angry with it. And he came down from heaven to have a meeting because of it. So let's change our attitudes.
Amen.
Let's change our actions towards these things. Let's renew our minds. If we have to go back and listen to this 20 times to get our minds renewed, go back and listen to it. Everything we shared today was the Bible. It wasn't me trying to be mean or, you know, not calling anybody out or, you know, Lord, who are we talking about here? No. Again, this is a general thing that people have been tempted. People have been tempted to talk. People have said things. People have thought things. People have been tempted to stop tithing, to pull back. We can't do that here. There's too much riding on this.
Yeah, amen.
Amen?
Yeah.
Well, I love you. I gotta love you to preach a message like that. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, I don't believe we'll lose one person from this message. I declare that everybody here, even if it was, you know, sometimes medicine is hard going down the drain into our throat and to eat it. It's hard sometimes to take it. Sometimes it doesn't taste so good. And sometimes, but Father, it's good for us. Father, I just thank you that people's hearts will be right. Lord, that's my goal, is to present a church to you that is all in. A church to you that abides by the Word of God. A church to you that just loves you. And that will show that they love you, because they won't speak against the tithe. They won't speak against the pastor. They won't speak against the house of God. And this is not only me praying right now, but this is for everybody. Heads bowed, eyes closed. This is for me to say. You need to know this. When I say speak against the pastor, if Pastor Mike starts preaching wrong things, and Pastor Mike starts living inappropriately in his personal life, and you know some things, and man, you see me at places that I shouldn't be, you ought to talk about those things, and you ought to bring those up. I'm talking about when I share the Word of God, and you have problems with the Word. That's what we're talking about. We're not trying to get brainwashed people, drink the Kool-Aid, do whatever Pastor Mike says. No, do the Bible, not be some crazy, you know, blinded person that just walks off the cliff. No. If I'm telling you the Word, you jump on board. Praise God. So, Father, I just pray we have people like that, that love you, that our hearts are with you. So, Father, I just pray that our eyes would be open to these things. Father, that we would repent. If we need to repent for words, if we need to repent for actions, if we've withheld the tithe, if we've been in a category of robbing you, if we've been tempted to pull back, Lord, we'll just repent. We'll renew our minds to these things and just be on board and just thank you that the windows of heaven are opening. Thank you the church is provided for. Thank you that the devourer is being rebuked. Father, all those good things, we praise you for. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I talked about something today that is an indicator of where your heart is. And you might say, man, I don't even really know where I stand with God. Well, I want everybody in this room with heads bowed and eyes closed to ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that question. Because if you open the obituaries today, there's papers all over the world filled with people that are facing that situation. That was their last day on planet Earth. And if Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, we'll all face that day as well. But when that day comes, ask yourself, where would I go? If your answer is, my goodness, I don't know. Well, I'm here to tell you, there is a place that you can go. It's called heaven. And the Bible says that Jesus is the way there. Just like to get into Disney World, you need a ticket that says Disney World on it. Jesus is the ticket into heaven. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you're here and you say, I want to go to heaven. I want to get there. Nobody's going to embarrass you. We're not going to have you stand up. We're not going to have you come to the front. But if you can say, Pastor, I don't know for sure if I would go to heaven. I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven. But I want to go to heaven. It's a free gift. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter how much you've... If it doesn't matter if you've been a tither, not a tither. It doesn't matter if you've gone to church or don't go to church. It doesn't matter what you did when you were a kid. It doesn't matter what you did 5 minutes before you walked through the door. But if you believe in Jesus, the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus, Would you simply just raise your hand in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus and know for sure you're going to heaven? Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed of it. We're not going to call you up to stand up. You're not going to have to say anything on your own. But if you could honestly say inside your heart, I want to go to heaven. I want to accept Jesus. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just lift your hand in the air? Anybody at all in this room want to receive Jesus? I don't like to rush it because sometimes people are shy. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus before I close? Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust that we're all born again. But Father, I know people are shy, and it's not the raising of the hand that gets us saved. And there might be people listening by live stream or in the archives in the future that might need to receive Jesus. It's not raising your hand. It's the believing in Jesus. If you believe in He died and rose again, you are qualified and a candidate for salvation. All you need to do is say, Lord, I believe in You. I believe in You. Come into my heart. And He'll accept you. And then get a hold of us and let us know and start becoming faithful to a Bible teaching church. Doesn't have to be this one, but it needs to be a Bible teaching church. Let's just thank the Lord for what we received today. Even if it was hard going down, let's thank Him. Hallelujah. Let's be grateful for the Word this morning. Thank You, Father. We magnify You. We thank You for what we've heard. Lord, You're trying to keep us safe. You're trying to keep us blessed. And we're trying to be presented to You as a glorious church without spot or blemish. Father, we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. See y'all Wednesday night, 6:30. You're dismissed.